And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, one of the continuing themes we've had here on the radio and in our newsletters and in my own books and videos is the exposure of the Illuminati elite. Well, I have a good friend with me on the radio today, and he does the same thing, and he's been doing a real good job of it. He's a little bit younger than me. He might be a little bit more handsome than me. I don't know, but he might be a lot smarter than me, but in any case, he is a friend, and I've been offering his book because it's one of the best primers out there. In fact, it's really more than a primer. You know, primer is sort of a beginning. I think this is a certainly advanced book because it has information that you won't find anywhere else. It's entitled The Illuminati, Facts and Fiction. I sort of like that because there's a lot of facts in this book. It's a just an outstanding book, and it's worth a lot more than the author asked for the book. It's over 400 pages long. What I like about it is you learn what the truth is, and there's so much disinformation out there as well. People, you know, just out to make a buck. Well, this gentleman, you know, I think he could make a lot of money by being a dramatic, a rip-off person, a con person, because he is so intellectual and bright, but he's chosen to tell the truth. Now, that's what I like. That's what I appreciate. I believe we're involved, my friends, in this last day's revolution. It's a revolution of truth. I was in Washington, D.C. a few weeks back, and people had asked me before, you know, the meeting that I spoke at a major hotel there, they said, Tex, isn't it time we get our arms, our militia clothes on and our uniforms, and isn't it time we get our guns out and we just go after these rascals? And I listened to that just a little bit by just a few people. I think they were rabble rousers because most of the people, they were really good, sensible folks. But in my talk to them, I mentioned that we do need a revolution, but it's a revolution of words of truth. And I believe that words of truth can bring down the most powerful of tyrannies. And that's what we're all about. And Mark Dice, D-I-C-E, Mark Dice, is the author of this book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction. I think the facts that he presents in this book are truthful, and they can bring down the bastions of evil. You know, the Bible says that God's kingdom, that the very gates of hell shall not stand. Notice something there. It doesn't say we're to cower behind the wall. It says we're to smash the very gates of hell. We're to go forward with gusto, my friends. We're to not only occupy, because it does say that in the Bible, occupy till Jesus comes, but it says the very gates of hell shall not prevail. That means we're banging on the gates. We're beating them down. How do you do it? With words of truth. Mark Dice, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thanks, Tex. Always good to talk to you. And I agree, there's so much information out there that I found myself just overwhelmed with distortions and frauds. And so when I was in college, I had to do a lot of writing. And when you're doing research papers in college, when you make a claim, you have to source it. And so that's what I've done in the Illuminati Facts and Fictions. I source every quote that is made. And I have books from 1797. I own all four volumes of the memoirs illustrating the history of Jacobinism, really the first book written about the Illuminati, which had the English translations of the original writings that were discovered, Proofs of a Conspiracy, written and published in 1798, Proof of the Illuminati in 1802. So, I mean, I went to the sources and bought all these books. So the Satanic Bible, the authorized biography of Anton LaVey, The Secret Doctrine, published in 1888, Morals and Dogma, all these different books, because you see these sources on the Internet, and they're not sourced, these quotes, and I wanted to find out, is this true? Is this accurate? Is just somebody posting some random quote on the website that they made up or that they saw on another website, that person saw on another website? I wanted to find out the truth. I want to find out what's real, what's false, what's a speculation, and what are the sources of this information. So I've compiled it together. That's why I called it the Illuminati Facts and Fiction, because there is some fiction out there. So I wanted to help people understand what is legitimate and then what is a distortion, what's just a complete fabrication.
Well, you've done a good job of that. You named some names of people out there that pretend to be real experts on the Illuminati, even insiders. Some of them claim, I used to be an Illuminatus. But, of course, they're just hoax-type people. Now, Mark, when we talk about the Illuminati, I would like us to really decipher it a little bit. Now, one of the great things about Illuminati Facts and Fiction is you expose not only the original Bavarian Illuminati, do a great job of that, and you do use all those sources, you know, Robinson's Proof of a Conspiracy and Abbey Barrel, I hope I pronounced that right. You have to speak a little French, I guess. His four-volume work, which I think, if you've read that thing, let me tell you, boy, that is an incredible read and a lot of information. And it's very complicated reading, too. But in your book, you talk about the Bavarian Illuminati, the Masons, the Bohemian Grove, the Skull and Bones, the Church of Satan, Helena Blavatsky and Theosophy, all of these things. And yet you weave it together and call it the Illuminati. Now, I do the same thing because while there is today, I believe, still an order of the Illuminati, all of these other groups are connected one way or another. How do you see this weaving of all of these groups together? Is there some link, you know, I have found at the head of the larger corporations in the world, the same people, the names of the same people keep poking up. You find a guy is on the board of United Technologies, but then he's on the board of AT&T. And then finally he shows up on the board of of some overseas bank, the Swiss bank or something. How does this work? The Illuminati and yet all these secret societies.
Well, there's definitive connections like that between all of these groups. And there's a historical timeline dating back to, the original Bavarian Illuminati, Bavaria is really a state in Germany, so that's kind of the source of what we call the Illuminati, which was founded in 1776 by a guy named Adam Weishaupt, a professor over there. And so that's kind of where the term Illuminati comes from. It was an Illuminati really in Spain, sort of maybe an unaffiliated group. But that's kind of, Adam Weishaupt in the late 1700s was the guy that formulated and really wrote down their plans, his plans. Maybe some say he was even a front man for the old mystery schools. But regardless, Adam Weishaupt's sort of the figurehead of what we call the Illuminati. So 230 years ago, he wrote plans down on how to specifically infiltrate organizations, to create organizations, to use, back then, you wouldn't really even call it the media, they called it printing houses. So the people that would print books and magazines and newspapers. And so he formulated exact and very specific plans on how him and his group of really an organized criminal group could gain and maintain power and influence and wealth. And so those writings have been discovered. They were discovered in 1786. This is full mainline history. This isn't even debated. The original writings of the Illuminati were discovered. They were published. The first English translation, like I said, was published in Abbey Barrel's books. Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robison published the English translations. We can go through some of these quotes, and it's very, very interesting to hear what this man, Adam Weishaupt, had planned hundreds of years ago. So that's sort of the key, the beginning of the modern Illuminati. And then you can find those members are specifically connected to other groups like the Skull and Bones Society, the Bohemian Club. Later on, we have other political organizations, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations. But there's a very definitive connection. So just one interesting connection is between the original Bavarian Illuminati and the Skull and Bones Society, which is sort of masquerades, as many people know, as a fraternity at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. Now, that group was founded in 1832, right after one of the founding members It was either Alfonso Taft or William Huntington Russell. One of those men was in Germany and then came back with permission to start an American branch of the Illuminati. And so how do we know this? Well, it was public knowledge that he traveled to Germany right before he founded the society. So maybe that's a little conjecture that, okay, he was over in the area where the Illuminati was. He came back, started this powerful organization where they recruit 15 people a year, and they've elevated their membership to just the pinnacles of power. I'll go over some of the interesting Skull and Bones membership lists here in a second. But a group back in, I think it was the late 1800s, broke into the Skull and Bones headquarters, and it was a group that called themselves the File and Claw, and they wanted to know what's inside this Skull and Bones headquarters. So they physically used a file and filed the bars off of the windows and broke into the club, and then they wrote an article, sort of a newspaper, a leaflet, a newsletter, and spread it around the Yale campus about what they found. And on the wall, they found a letter that was to the American branch from the German branch, and all this interesting information that connects them to a German secret society. And so it's no leap of conjecture to see that founding member was in Germany beforehand. He came over, immediately started this very identical Skull and Bones secret society, and then this other group, this really just a group of concerned students, broke in there and discovered this plaque on the wall that said to the American branch from the German branch. And also, too, this group found another plaque that describes, it's three human skulls, and then somebody is asked whether this is the skeleton of a king, a nobleman, or a beggar. And then it goes on to say, well, who is the fool, who is the wise man, who is the beggar? It doesn't matter, because whether rich or poor, all is the same in death. Now, this is exactly an oath that John Robison wrote about in his book, Proofs of a Conspiracy, about the original Illuminati, who John Robison was asked to join the Illuminati. So there's another interesting direct connection. You have this philosophy about all is the same in death in the Skull and Bones Society as you had in the original Bavarian Illuminati. And one of the quotes, the slogan of the Skull and Bones Society is, the hangman equals death, the devil equals death, death equals death. And basically what that means, the hangman is Jesus. So they're saying that Jesus equals death, the devil equals death, death equals death. So they're trying to just say that they're a worldly group. They don't necessarily maybe believe in an afterlife, so they teach their members that they better take all that they can here and now, all the wealth, all the power, all the pleasure, all the creature comforts, because they believe that when they're dead, that's it. So they just will take advantage of everybody here in this world, and they've created this criminal organization basically to do that. And that's what Adam Weishaupt wanted. We can go over some of his original quotes. I have the original English translations of the German writings that were discovered in 1786, where he admits all this. And so it's no leap of faith to see these connections, and you see the interesting connections with the philosophies of Aleister Crowley and the groups, the philosophies and the beliefs and the membership of Freemasons. And so to say that these groups don't have any influence, or that the Skull and Bones Society is, oh, it's just a fraternity, many of the detractors say, they really are ignorant and don't understand. Let's look at President Bush, as a very well-known Skull and Bones member, him and John Kerry. But let's look at who President Bush, when he was president, who he put into positions of power. Now, this is just one president that's a Skull and Bones member. When he was elected president, well, really selected, he put William Donaldson as the chairman of the Security and Exchange Commission. Now, William Donaldson is a Skull and Bones member. Edward McNally, another Skull and Bones member, was put in the general counsel of the Office of Homeland Security. Frederick Smith was his top choice for Secretary of Defense until he withdrew because of a health problem. Robert McCollum Jr. was Assistant Attorney General. Okay. These are all Skull and Bones members that one man, President Bush, appointed. And the Skull and Bones group only has about 800 living members at any one time. I mean, the list goes on. Roy Austin was ambassador to Trinidad and Tobago. Evan Gabrius was Secretary of Defense's representative in Europe. Victor Ashe was put on the board of directors of Fannie Mae. Because, I mean, here's this one president that just, happens to elect the people to the most powerful position, the Security and Exchange Commission, Fannie Mae. I mean, these are the guys that are running the country, and they're all part of this same group that only lets 15 members in each year.
And if we had voted the rascals out, well, then John Kerry would have brought his own bonesman with him, right? Because he was John Kerry, who ran on the Democratic ticket, was also a bonesman, as you've well pointed out. So whoever we vote for, we get death. We give the death squad of the bonesman. Now, back to Weishaupt just a minute, and the original guy, supposedly, who founded this Order of the Illuminati. And you put a lot of thoughts in my head here about connections. You're bringing up the connections of Freemasonry. Of course, Weishaupt evidently polluted Freemasonry. It wasn't a very worthy organization anyway. It was evil. But he used it sort of as a basis. It was sort of like a sitting embryo or skeletal organization for him to take over with his Illuminati. So basically the German and other European lodges were his foundation. Is that right?
And this is fully admitted, even by high-level Masons. Now, in the Illuminati Facts and Fiction, I quote Albert Mackey, who's the author of The Lexicon of Freemasonry, which is one of the most popular Freemason books, I would say maybe second or third to Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike.
He was also former Sovereign Grand Commander, the head of all Freemasonry, right?
Which covers, Lexicon of the Illuminati covers all the symbols and the meanings of Freemasonry. So in that book, Albert Mackey even admits that he influenced and infiltrated Freemasonry. So mainline history admits that Adam Weishaupt infiltrated Freemasonry in 1786, just shortly before they were discovered, and created another inner circle within Freemasonry that he called Illuminated Freemasonry. And in the original writings of the Illuminati, Weishaupt himself says, quote, "None is fitter than the lower degrees of Freemasonry. The public is accustomed to it, expects little from it, and therefore takes little notice of it." And then he goes on to explain how, since it's already a secret society, that he can use that as a cover and as a breeding ground for his secret society. And this is fully admitted by mainline Freemasons, and they just deny now that it continued. They say that Illuminated Freemasonry sort of died out. And even though John Robison is criticized by a lot of people and a lot of Masons saying that his writings of the Illuminati are not accurate, Albert Mackey, in Lexicon of Freemasonry, admits that John Robison, he calls him an enemy of their order, that he was correct that Weishaupt infiltrated Freemasonry. So here you have him in one of the most authoritative books on Freemasonry, admitting that Weishaupt infiltrated Freemasonry and created illuminated Freemasonry.
You know, and to confirm what you're saying here, in the writings of George Washington, a book published by the government printing office in 1941, is a statement, actually a letter that President George Washington wrote to a man in Great Britain who had written to him, ask George Washington, was he aware of John Robison's book, Professor Robison's book, Proof of a Conspiracy, and was he aware of the existence of the Illuminati, and that it had spread to America, and as you know, George Washington wrote him back, and this is in the book, The Writings of George Washington, published by our own government. Washington wrote him back and says, quote, "Of the existence of the Illuminati, I have no doubt." And then he goes on to say, "I'm aware of their nefarious," that means notorious and evil, "plans." So George Washington, our president, said, yeah, I know of them. Robison is right, and they're a notorious and evil group, nefarious, which was a popular word maybe we ought to bring back for today, Mark. Now, Weishaupt, it seems like evil was compounded in so many ways. He came out of Jewry. He was a Jew, and Masonry, and I want you to comment on this, has its Jewish elements, the Kabbalah, according to Pike, a former Sovereign Grand Commander. So you have the Kabbalah there, Weishaupt being Jewish. But at the same time, he was a Jesuit Catholic priest, so there must have been some evil in that group. And then he founded this Order of the Illuminati, which he sort of melded into the Freemasonic lodges. So you've got the whole ball of wax there, don't you?
Yeah, and here's a quote from Weishaupt. This is, again, from the publicly released writings from 1786, where one of his letters to his fellow Illuminati member says, the order must possess the power of life and death in the consequence of our oath. And it says here...
Life and death.
Let's see. He's talking about the order using the media here, like I said before, by establishing reading societies and subscription libraries and taking these under our direction and supplying them through our labors, we may turn the public mind which way we will.
Well, control of the media, even back then.
Because they knew that people, I mean, just imagine 200 years ago how uninformed people were. And if right there he says to take control of the printing houses which print the books and the newspapers. And then he says, in like manner, we must try to obtain influence in military academies, the printing houses, bookseller shops, chapters, and in short, all offices which have any effect either in forming or managing or even directing the mind of man. So right then they knew, and everybody knows that the media lies, but you just look at how this started. This insidious, really evil genius knew that you could start something like that back then and just maintain it. That something like that grew into what we have Operation Mockingbird today, which is the modern control of the media and gatekeeping and propaganda with the mainstream talking heads and radio and newspapers and magazines. But it all goes back to really to the mystery schools. But I mean, the more modern Illuminati would be Weishaupt, and the Masons of, like you said before, were already sort of an elitist organization, a kind of a modern Pharisee group that felt that they had the true enlightenment teachings, and that through their fraternity they could use their backroom networks to further their own careers and use their good old boy networks really at the expense of others. And Albert Pike admits this in really the Bible of Freemasonry, Morals and Dogma. On page 104, he says, Masonry, like all religions, so he admits that it's a religion.
Yeah.
Later. All the mysteries conceals, and he emphasizes conceals. This is emphasized in the original book, which I have. Conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and the sages or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled, to conceal the truth, which it, the Mason, calls light from them, and to draw them away from it. So there he admits that this group, that if you're a part of this group, you dedicate yourself to the priorities of this organization, that you are to lie to those that are below you and non-Masons, and then to draw them further away from the truth. They openly admit it, but people are so brain dead reading vampire novels and Harry Potter books that they just would never open Morals and Dogma, which you can probably buy at any Barnes & Noble now across the country, and you can read this for yourself.
Now, let's go back to Weishaupt again, because I know this is certainly you trace these things back, at least the philosophy and doctrines and belief systems and even practices perhaps of the Illuminati and its secret societies all the way back to the ancient mysteries of Babylon, Egypt, Greece, and so forth. But let's just go back to Weishaupt just a minute. Now, you say in your book, Illuminati Facts and Fiction, that officially the Order of the Illuminati was founded, Mark, May the 1st, 1776. Now, that May 1 date, that must strike you quite a bit. The communists always have their huge May Day parades. The World Labor Organization, and it's all of the subsidiary labor unions here, even here in the United States, that May 1 date is a day that they call Solidarity Day. And then we have 1776, when our nation was founded. So obviously, here again we see, when we're talking about the Illuminati, a huge connection and connecting the dots. And I mean, from communism to the labor unions, the whole thing keeps getting bigger and bigger, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and in one of the prefaces to the Communist Manifesto, which I had to read in a college class, and so I had the Communist Manifesto on my bookshelf for years, and I didn't fully understand the implications of communism. I didn't exactly like the history class that I was in. I thought it was boring, but I didn't understand the pieces of the puzzle at that time. But in one of the prefaces to one of the editions, Karl Marx goes on to admit that he was really just a secretary. You know, I always thought that, I was taught in college, I'm sure many other people are, that Karl Marx, you know, started the communist philosophy. It was all his idea. But in his manifesto, he admits that he was just a secretary, and he was commissioned by a secret group to write the philosophy of communism and then to print the book and to spread it around to start the communist revolution. So right there, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels admit that they were part of some sort of a secret society that then commissioned them to write and publish the communist propaganda.
Wow, and that's interesting. You know, in his book, Under the Sign of the Scorpion, Jerry Lena from over in Europe, I think he's from Finland, isn't he? Sweden. Yeah, Sweden. Notes that to this day, there are 77 books supposedly written by Karl Marx that have yet to be released. Now, the question, you know, if this is true, 77 books by Karl Marx. You mentioned the secret group that had commissioned him as its secretary to write the philosophy of the communist movement. And yet there's 77 books that have been bottled up. You know, what are they in the old KGB or the CIA vaults or what? I mean, when are we going to get these 77 books? I have a feeling that they all, that probably Karl Marx dedicates most of those to his master Lucifer, to Satan himself. And that's why they don't want us to read these books. It would totally destroy the communist movement. And out it as a satanic movement. Now, you know, we only have about 2 minutes on this side, Mark. When we come back in a minute, I really would like us to cover, and I have some questions to ask you about the Illuminati from its beginning, what its goals were. I know on page 53 of your book, you have several goals of the Illuminati that were pointed out by Abby Boreal, and I want your expert opinion on what that means. Then also, today we're beleaguered by the wackos and the conspiratorialists, and that's what they are, trying to claim that we're in a period of global warming and climate change. And I want to see how this relates, this nature movement, environmental movement, back to the Illuminati. And so it's not a modern movement, evidently. I know even Hitler was a big naturist, as was Goering. But I'd like to ask you about that and, you know, and this new world order. Did even Weishaupt say that individual nations should disappear or what? How did this all get started and what is the connection all the way back? And I hope also we'll be able to get into the Bohemian Grove and even the Church of Satan. That ought to be pretty interesting and seeing its connection. In fact, let me just say, we have about 45 seconds. Anton LaVey, was he a Freemason? The founder of the Church of Satan?
I haven't found any direct evidence of that. We can get more into him. I have read his authorized biography. Not just, you know, if somebody writes a biography of someone, it may not be entirely accurate, but I have the authorized biography that was written by his wife. And so we can get into some of his beliefs and some of his just blatant contradictions and hypocrisy and the goals of the Church of Satan. He wanted an occult empire to weed out the weak, and the strong would survive. And this is a quote in Newsweek magazine back in 1966 when he started the Church of Satan. So we can get into him, some of his supernatural beliefs, even though the modern Satanists claim that they're atheists, and Anton LaVey's book of, you know, the Satanic Bible is an atheistic philosophy. Yet I can get into some of the spiritual aspects of Anton LaVey and how he believed in the supernatural. He believed in the power of prayer, praying to Satan. So he believed in a supernatural entity, which many people deny that he did. So
he's had his own definition of Satan. Well, when we come back, let's do talk about those things and much more. My guest today is Mark Dice. And boy, this is a real program. We're learning a lot. Stay with us, folks. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy being heard around the world. Secret societies of the New World Order. Well, that topic and more are covered in Mark Dice's outstanding book, The Illuminati, Facts and fiction. Love for you to have a copy of this book because I've read it several times and I always find little tidbits of things in it that are of interest. There's a bibliography in it too, if you're interested in that. But it's over 400 pages. It's just a great, it's a fun book. Now you say fun? Fun? All the evil that the Illuminati and the secret societies do? Tex, you're saying it's fun? No, hold it just a minute now. What I mean by that is very clear. This, that it's fun to expose evil. Yeah, that's right. I do. I love to expose evil. I love to show up the devil and triumph over the devil. And when truth goes forward, that's a triumph. Friends, we've got to have more wisdom out there. Without knowledge, God's people perish. That's what the Bible says. And I rejoice. Yes, I do. I rejoice when the devil is exposed for who he is. And that's what this book does. Now, I want to offer it to you for just $20. So if you don't have this book, please. I know you can get it on Amazon.com. That's right. You know, I'm not afraid to tell you. You can get it on Amazon.com, another source. You can get it even direct from Mark Dice. And I want to tell you how you can contact him. He has a YouTube video sort of network of his own now, and that should be very interesting. Mark Dice is very controversial. In fact, as I understand it, Michael Reagan, Ronald Reagan's son, you know, he's one of these neocon Republican crazies that has his own, you know, hundreds of radio stations, and he says Mark Dice should be dead. I mean, how dare him to say such things as he's been saying? And in fact, if I can recall, I'll have to ask Mark when we come back on the other side, but as I remember, he said he'd pay for the bullets. Somebody would get a gun and just go out and assassinate and murder Mark Dice. So I feel left out. I mean, no one said go out and kill Tex Mars, as far as I know. Well, I have had a few that they said they'd like to whack me. But in any case, there must be something to Mark Dice. If one of the neocon Republicans is out there saying we got to kill this, it'd be better off if he were dead. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a moment, maybe. So the man that they say should be dead because he said too much, the man who talked too much, Mark Dice, his book, The Illuminati, Facts and Fiction, for $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. So for $25, you'll have a book of truth. You'll have fun. You'll get a blessing from the knowledge that's contained in it. There are things in this book that are not contained in any other book, even my own book, such as Circle of Intrigue, Dark Majesty, and so forth. So you put it all together, and then your knowledge will increase geometrically. Here's how to get that book. Again, now, a total of $25, which will include shipping and handling. Order it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go on our website, powerofprophecy.com. And by the way, Mark Dice has a website, markdice.com. And it'll sort of spin you over into his videos and things like that. Just a good way to get in. Or you can put in, go for youtube.com, the video section, and then type in Mark Dice videos. And some of those will come up as well. But markdice.com. Again, the book is available through amazon.com, but I hope you'll get it from this ministry because every cent goes back into the ministry and we're able to spread the truth and the gospel across the globe. We're heard all over the place. I can't even imagine today the countries, probably 150 nations are hearing us by the miracle of shortwave radio from Romania, from Tanzania, South Africa, Russia. People are hearing our voice, even in the Arab countries. And I get many letters from Muslims and others. And, of course, they want me to convert. But fortunately, for the truth, I preach back to them. And I'm a preacher of Jesus Christ, even to the Muslims and to the Jews around the world. I'd love for every Jew, every Muslim to convert to Christianity. Why? Because they'd be happier. And they'd live an eternal life in heaven. They'd be my neighbor. Don't hate the Jews. I don't hate the Muslims. I'd like them to be my neighbor in heaven. If you want somebody to be your neighbor and love them, then you can't possibly hate them. Although there are many people who say I am an anti-Semite and I'm a hater of other religions and all that. They say anything they want to, don't they? A woman just called up Jerry Barrett here in the ministry today, and don't know if she was ordering something or what. She had heard me. She met me actually in person at West Virginia, where I went to a conference a couple of months ago. Pastor Butch Paul had a conference. Wonderful time there. I love Pastor Paul. I was able to meet friends and get out of my dungeon here, and actually shake hands, hug some necks. And this woman told Jerry, she said, Tex was not like anything I'd imagined. For years I'd listened to him on the radio and everything, but I actually met him and he was totally different. He's actually a nice guy. You know, he's a kind guy. He's a sweet man. Well, of course I am. My wife Wanda tells me that all the time. And I know she tells the truth. So I must be a nice guy. And that's why I want you to have this book. I'm a nice guy, but I'll tell you something. I'm deadly to the lie. I'm deadly to the lie. I'm opposed to the lie. I'm not too nice for those who are spreading the lie. Mark Dice, author of a truthful book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction. Again, powerofprophecy.com to order this book. Hey, there's an ad right on our homepage. Click on that. It'll take you to it. You can order it using your charge card. You can phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Let me tell you a little secret. Our 1-800 number, it's 1-800, then 234-WORD, like the Word of God. W-O-R-D. W-O-R-D. 1-800-234. See how simple it is? Word. W-O-R-D. And that W-O-R-D translates to 9673 in the number. Now, you can send us a check or money order or cash for $25 to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road. We've been here for many years. Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, that's Texas. Of course, we know it as the Republic of Texas, but we keep that secret from the feds. We don't tell anybody, so don't put that on your envelope, okay? Now let's return to our regular program. My special guest today is Mark Dice. He's a big old troublemaker. Oh, my God. Mark, you're just, you've been targeted by certain people. You deserve to be shot.
Well, I feel like I'm doing something right if the son of one of the most prominent presidents says openly on his radio audience to millions of people that I should be killed, that he will pay for the bullets if that happens. I mean, I must be doing something right. I'm very proud of that fact, that I rubbed him the wrong way. But, you know, it's interesting. He's untouchable because nothing happened to him. The FCC did nothing. His radio network did nothing. I contacted the FBI. The attorney general would not pursue charges. So he just got away scot-free saying that, which is very interesting. But he also, I think, brought a lot of people to look into me, which is good. You know, I mean, the Lord will use things like that for our own benefit and for his benefit. And so, you know, he tries to say I should be killed and that he would pay for the bullets, and then all it does is cause people to look into who I am and why he's saying these things. And I'm sure a large portion of that audience started, you know, looking into my work and probably supports us now.
Can you imagine if you know, you and I are on this radio talk show today, if you actually said Michael Reagan is an evil man and I'd pay for the bullets for somebody to get a gun and go out and murder him. I don't think the hour would go by until you're arrested and given 25 years in a federal prison.
No, it's fascinating. It just goes to show that they are untouchable. They yeah. Cover their own. They protect their own.
Very, very, very true.
I'm fine. I'm stronger because of it.
Well, talking about Michael Reagan and the Republicans, it seems that they have their own sort of special little secret society that meets along the Russian River outside San Francisco. What about that?
Well, you're talking about the Bohemian Grove. Now, the Bohemian Club is a private group that's the headquarters is in San Francisco, but the Grove, which is kind of their campground area in the middle of a redwood forest, is about 60 miles north of San Francisco in Monterio. And it's fascinating because when people first hear about this, when I first heard about this and saw photos and videos, I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was a misrepresentation of what was going on up there. But it's a private group. It's a private club. It's a resort where it's, you know, $20,000 to join this thing, and most of the Republican presidents, really after they're a president, join, and high-level senators and businessmen are all members of this, and they go and meet periodically once a year in July over a two-week period. Some of them come in for a few days, some of them for longer, just to kind of have a private party where there's all sorts of just drunken debauchery, allegations of prostitution and of homosexual activities, that go on. And it's sort of a place where these elite Illuminati members on the right wing can hang out privately with no press and just talk about what they want to do and what's kind of coming around the bend for the next quarter, next few years, what the Bilderberg Group is pushing, what the Illuminati is going to be unfolding for the rest of us little people. And so it's a place for the insiders to network and to get a better idea of what's going on, and then to just engage in all sorts of activities that we, most of us, find deplorable. And some of these activities include a mock human sacrifice. And again, I when I first found this out, I thought it was crazy. I thought even if such a thing happened, certainly these powerful individuals are not a member of this club. But you can find solid, legitimate sources that confirm that the club exists. These members are attending. The sacrifice is real. Real meaning it's an effigy, a human effigy, a metal skeleton with papier-mâché stuffed in it, and they burn it on the altar of this huge stone idol, Moloch, that's in the Old Testament that people used to sacrifice people to and children to. And so this group puts this on as a play. It's really a ritual. And they do this every year, every summer, every July. It's called the Cremation of Care. And this is fully real. You know, Alex Jones has snuck in there and got video footage of it. It's been admitted. Another individual, Chris Jones, no relation, worked at the club and took photos and video of it. I've met Chris numerous times. I've seen the photos and the video on his camera with my own eyes. I saw the membership lists that he was able to get, some other little trinkets that he found. The National Geographic magazine, very respected magazine, published a photo a couple years ago of the Cremation of Care from a 1915 Cremation of Care. And in the caption it says that the elite Bohemian club has a human sacrifice reenactment every year using an effigy, and the elite members still do this today. So there's the National Geographic admits it. We have Chris Jones and Alex Jones that have snuck in there and or worked there and got these photos and videos. We have the San Francisco Chronicle up there, which publishes photos, and it admits that this is real. So this is a place that they go. The membership lists have been leaked by the Bohemian Grove Action Network, this sort of group of really left-wing political activists that for decades have snuck in there and or have informants that worked in there and that they obtain a really steal membership list, leak them to the public. And in their own books, they have annals, which are sort of like yearbooks of the club that members have. And certain books of these have made it out to the public. Members have died, and their family members have, you know, not understood what this book was, and they've found their way on eBay and into the hands of non-Bohemian Club members. And I myself obtained photographs of the Bohemian Grove from eBay years ago from the estate of a dead member. And so you can see that these men are doing these activities. There are certain political movements and strategies that have been launched from within the club. And so it's interesting, it's disturbing, but it's also fascinating that such a club and the activities are never mentioned in the mainstream news. And that just goes to show that there is an agenda. There is a conspiracy, but I don't like to use that word because it's negatively charged. But there is a sort of an agreement amongst the mainstream media, television, print, and radio, to not cover this club. Because you have to admit that it is interesting that such a club exists, that these members go there every year, that these activities are what they're participating in. And you would think that your average reporter would find this interesting and get it on the air. But, of course, you won't find that. You won't find Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, anyone, ABC World News. None of these groups today will cover.
You mean Sean Hannity hasn't gone there and filmed it and introduced us to the effigy and all of that? And Rush Limbaugh doesn't broadcast from there once a year? Now, I was reading, again, Helmut Schmidt, a former chancellor, the leader of Germany. And in his book, Men and Powers, he talks about his going, being invited and going to the Bohemian Grove. there in California. And he says he met some of the world's top leaders, especially the Americans, and was able to do an amazing amount of government business global-wise that he could not have done otherwise by meeting them on such an informal level at this great Universal Weenie Roast. Actually, I made up the part about the Universal Weenie Roast, but he did say the Bohemian Grove. So here we have the Chancellor of Germany saying, hey, this was a great place to make deals, to come to agreements on the greatest issues of the day. Now, who are some of the people that have been at these meetings? Are we talking about Ronald Reagan's? Maybe Michael's been there. Who knows? But who are the kind of people that go there?
Bush 41, George Bush Sr. is a member. We have photographs of him and George Bush Jr. inside the club. Newt Gingrich, as you mentioned, we have Richard Nixon, photographs of Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan sitting there in the club. And an interesting aspect of Richard Nixon, the presidential tapes have been released of him, and you can get these on the National Archives website. I'm sure you could find them on YouTube. I quote them in my books. But Richard Nixon admits that he went to the Bohemian Grove multiple times, which he says, which he attended from time to time. And he called it, and I'm sorry to say this, he called it the most faggoty, bleeping, bleep thing that he had ever seen.
Most faggoty, blank, blank thing he had ever seen.
Yeah. And this is openly, you can get this on the National Archives website, and this is fully released. This is.
I remember that he was telling Haldeman and Ehrlichman and his top aides, he said he'll never go there again. Didn't he say something about when he went there, he hated it so much he would not, they had done terrible things, sexual abominations. He said, I didn't even want to shake their hands, yeah, their filthy hands.
He said he didn't want to shake the hands with the crowd because he knows that they're a bunch of perverts. And, you know, I've interviewed a woman named Mary Moore, who was the sort of founder of the Bohemian Grove Action Network, the left-wing group that had infiltrated this place for decades. And she had told me that they had informants going back decades, who, you know, Mary Morgan, real left-wing person. And so she had informants who were homosexuals that openly admitted that there was homosexual activity going on in the club. And one of the men, I think his name was Don Heinforth, died of AIDS. He was an openly gay man, died of AIDS. And he would tell her openly that this sort of thing was going on, that there was a lot of gay activities going on. And even in some of the photos that have been released and that have been leaked in the Bohemian Grove annals, they show men dressed up in drag as women. Now, Henry Kissinger, of course, is a prominent member, and photographs of him wearing, I believe, you know, coconut bikinis and then dresses have been leaked. And so you have.
Boy, that must have been a pretty picture to see Henry Kissinger in a coconut bikini. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I want to avert my eyes just thinking about that one.
I know.
It's so
disgusting, but people have to understand that these are the groups that and the activities and the people that are going to these places. And again, I like to emphasize that not only is this happening, there's leaked, you know, occasional, solid, reliable evidence that this is going on, but it's fascinating that it's not more widely known. And you can listen to my phone calls into Sean Hannity on YouTube. And I've called Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage. I've gotten through to these guys. I've recorded most of these phone calls of me just simply asking them about this club. And Sean Hannity has denied that it exists. He admitted that he was invited once, but he says he never went. And they don't like to talk about it because their friends are the people that go there.
Oh, yeah, well, you're tormenting them, even asking them questions. And if they did say anything about it to you, of course, that'd be the end of their big career and their multi-million dollar payments that they're getting to do the dirty work as the water boys and errand boys. Hey, I want to go back to your book. There's something here that I think is very important, and I know we only have a total of an hour. On page 53 of your book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction, you quote Burriell and some of the objectives, the major objectives of the Illuminati and the secret societies, and one of their objectives is indeed the end of all nation states, such as the end of sovereignty of the United States, for example, and the coming together of a new world order. And yet there's more. There's much more to what they want. Tell us a little bit about some of the objectives of these evil doers.
One of their primary objectives is the destruction of religion mainly Christianity, and so that they can, there's multiple facets for that we can get into, but they want to eliminate religion, Christianity, traditional Christianity. They want to create a one-world currency. They want to eliminate the right to bear arms. They want to eliminate the right of private property. They want to reduce the population down to around 500 million. That's correct. That's about a 95% population reduction, which goes in line with their phony climate change propaganda, saying that the humans are using the valuable natural resources. So let's maybe touch a little bit upon the destruction of religion. And Abby Burrell wrote about this back in 1797, that from the original writings of Weissupt, he admits that they want to destroy religion because they know that if people are immoral and out of control and don't worship God and don't live by the standards of that Jesus has set, the example that Jesus has set, and create a community of people that will help to keep everyone accountable and build everyone up, that you're gonna just destroy yourself, your own sin, your own destruction, and if your life is just filled with the pleasures of the world, if you're living in a moral life, then you're not gonna be a problem for them. You're not gonna get in their way. You're not gonna know what they're doing. You're not gonna care. You're not gonna be able to organize to expose them or to protest them. And if you're obviously drinking all the time and doing drugs or involved in theft and sexual immorality, you really are just not going to be a problem for them. And then this also goes to set the stage for one day somewhere in the distant future when the Antichrist will come on the scene and then claim to be the world's Messiah. So they're trying to erode people's faith in Christianity and in other religions to then pave the path for this counterfeit Christ to come and basically claim to be God, and then he'll preach the immoral gospel of do whatever you want to do whatever feels good, and he's going to point the finger at us evil Christians for having traditional family values and traditional beliefs and stances against certain immoralities. And so that's their core of the destruction of religion. And then the destruction of the population reduction goes with the lines of they think there's too many of us. Now that the world has been fairly modernized and infrastructure's built, a lot of the physical manual labor's done. I mean, just look at how much work it would take to just pave the interstate freeways and to mine all the ores to create the metals that we have now. So a lot of work has been done, so they think that all that is needed now is really a maintenance force. And so they think that the people are using up the natural resources that they themselves want. So they want to reduce the world population, and that goes hand-in-hand with their climate change fear-mongering, saying that the humans are evil, but then they can also use that as a way to tax us now, to save the world. They're going to just create their carbon taxes and taxes on everything to save the environment, and that's another way to minimize people's resources, to minimize people's wealth, so to keep you dependent, to keep you enslaved, running on the treadmill, trying to keep up with the Joneses, never able to accumulate enough wealth to sit back and enjoy life. You're constantly going to be a slave feeding into the tax system, and then if you don't have the finances to just take a week off to go join a protest or to fly out to Washington, D.C., then you're not going to be a problem for them. So that goes hand-in-hand with the population reduction. They want to eliminate the right to bear arms because people like us, people like this audience, having arms is a problem for them because if a Hitler-like scenario unfolds again, they're going to be faced with armed resistance. And another aspect of why they want to eliminate the right for us to own guns is then we're going to have to rely more on the government, because if somebody breaks into your house, now you have to call the police and wait for the police to come. So now the government can be bigger, and the police and the bureaucracy can be even larger now, because you can't fend for yourself. You can't take care of yourself. They want to, the Federal Reserve Bank and the international banks, the Illuminati banking cartel, want to create a one-world currency, which this financial collapse is helping them to do, which will one day lead into the mark of the beast. talked about in the book of Revelation. So you can't buy or sell anything without being a part of the system.
Okay, now, on page 53 of also of your book, Weishaupt, the founder of the Order of the Illuminati, is quoted as saying, yes, nations, that's individual nations, shall disappear from off the face of the earth. That would go along with setting up a new world order and, as you say, a cartel of the rich. Then the second thing he says is, Weishaupt says is a goal of the Illuminati is, he says, yes, a time shall come when man shall acknowledge no other law but the great book of nature. This revolution shall be the work of the secret societies, and that is one of our grand mysteries. Now, this, the fact that man then will not worship the law or believe in the law of God and worship a God of creation, but instead his law book, you know, pitch out the Bible and all Bibles, but the law of the great book of nature will be the thing. So the people that are into climate change, global warming, environmentalism, they love the Illuminati doctrine then, don't they?
Well, they do, because it's multifaceted. So it's this earth worship. It's creating Mother Earth sort of as the god, as the worshiping the creation again instead of the creator. And then by what he says, you know, man shall acknowledge no other law than the great book of nature. Really, what he's saying there too is to just indulge yourself with all the worldly physical desires and to not be able to control yourself. And so that goes hand in hand with breaking down the family, breaking down marriage, breaking down committed relationships. So they just want all sorts of sexual debauchery.
So you revert really to a savage nature.
Yeah, that's what they want, because they don't want the standards that we're trying to uphold by today, where, you know, a man will commit himself to one woman for the rest of his life to raise a family, and they don't want that, because once you have a family unit, that's where your heart and your loyalties are going to remain. But if you don't have that, you're going to need to be loyal to the state.
Ah.
It's going to give you your health care, which is going to give you your welfare, which is going to dictate everything to you. So that's why Karl Marx said that, you know, he was a big opponent of religion, calling organized religion the opiate of the masses when he was a Satanist or an atheist. I like to modify his quote and say that professional sports is the opiate of the masses, because it keeps everybody nice and distracted from what's important, and people know about whose team is playing who and the stats, everybody's stats, and they can argue over who's going to win which game and who ran more yardage, but they just have no clue about things that are actually affecting their own lives.
No, that's so true. You know, a six-pack and a ball game, and that's very, very sad. Well, Mark Dice, you've done a great job today. I want to have you back again soon. The name of the book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction, we offer it here at the ministry. Call us 1-800-234-9673. That's weekdays, of course, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Our website, powerofprophecy.com. Also, go to markdice.com. Check that out and go to YouTube and see some of the great videos of Mark Dice. Mark, continue to do the great work that you're doing, and let's stay in touch. I look very positive for the future, because I think we've got them on the run just simply from our words of truth. So thank you very much for your help in that regard.
You're welcome. Thanks for paving the path so people like me can continue to make it wider and just point everybody down the right direction. We just put out the information there so that anybody that's trying to find this path can come and learn from the knowledge base that we've assembled too. So thank you, and God bless.
God bless you, Mark. Until next time. Well, friends, this has been Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been discussing and really outing the evil doers of the Illuminati. We're going to keep doing it with your help, your support, your prayers. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.